The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. Whew, Liverpool were made to sweat, weren't they, in their 1-0 victory over West Ham. Sadio Mane would open the scoring in the 27th minute. West Ham, though, had plenty of chances to equalise, including a beautiful Lanzini in the 70th minute. But in the end, Liverpool hold on for three important points that close the gap on Manchester City at the top of the table, back to just 3 points. Frank Leboeuf is with us to reflect on that game. Frank, Liverpool would have been so happy to hear that final whistle.
Yes, indeed. I think, especially the first half, I would say they did everything to scare themselves. And I would say we saw clumsiness by Salah. But I have to say that when you watch Liverpool, you're never bored. Yeah, you have so much intensity. They give everything. So sometimes that they forget that they leave some spaces behind them, and it's what happens. So we know that Alexander-Arnold is a fantastic player when he has the ball, and even when he wants to make a shoot, he gives a fantastic assist. But I was happy to see him defensively today once on the line, because otherwise it's like normally he leaves too much spaces behind him and can really scare his own fans. But at the end of the day, it worked. I think West Ham have been clumsy as well with the Lanzini, who in fact had a fantastic game today, missed a great chance. But overall, you know, I wouldn't say that Liverpool didn't deserve to win because they gave everything to win that game. Again, the intensity were there. They work hard, but you know, they could have been punished many times.
And yeah, for West Ham, of course, a big blow.
Very frustrated coming back to London.
West Ham, big blow for their chances to finish in the top four. Frank, does this performance, this result today for Liverpool, make you think that they've got a better or a worse chance of winning the league?
That's a good question. If you're Mo Salah and you come back home, you must be very frustrated because and you know how much I love the guy, and I think he's gonna finish top scorer. But at the end of the day, today he missed everything that he had to. So it's not a good day for him. But in terms of results, yes, I saw Klopp, you know, cheering with the fans, happy to get the 3 points. Of course, it's the final race, and you get the 3 points at home, you win. You happy? You get it.
This is going right to the wire, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And for both of them, and certainly Liverpool, the mindset has to be coming into training, coming into the stadium, coming to every sort of match that they're going to play, we have to be perfect. That's it. If you try to fool yourself otherwise, I think you're missing the point.
Right.
You have to be perfect. If you're perfect, and that would be the message for me if I'm Jurgen Klopp, and while people want to say, hey, let's take it one game at a time. Great, that's fantastic. But ideally, if you're Jurgen Klopp, you're telling your players, we win out, we win this title. We win out, we're going to be the champions. And you drill that into the players time and time and time again so that wins like today feel important in the sense that it wasn't great. We weren't outstanding. We were lucky at times, we were fortunate at times, but we got 3 points, we move on, bring on the next team, and we're going to win that game too. They have to be perfect, they know it. That's the sort of pressure that right now you have in the Premier League.
Chelsea turned it on in the second half to defeat Burnley by 4-0. Once again, Lukaku back to the bench, but Kai Havertz with a brace, a brilliant individual goal by Reece James, an absolute gift for Christian Pulisic, would see Thomas Tuchel's side take the victory. I am told that after some technical issues that were not his fault, technical issues which seem to have him shrunk slightly, but we won't worry about that. Stevie Nicol is with us. Stevie, old game of two halves, wasn't it, at Turf Moor?
Yeah, I think they'd be a little scared, I would say, at half-time. Things
things weren't quite going their way, passes were going adrift. Obviously, when you play against Burnley, then you're going to be playing a bitty type game where there's loads of challenges, lots of fouls, they're up and at you. So at half-time, kind of in the balance. But I tell you what a spell they had. We killed the game off through three goals. And as we've been talking about during the week, was Lukaku going to play? And we all said no. Mm. Well, that little spell just proved why he shouldn't have and why he didn't. Havertz and Pulisic in particular, scoring goals, assists. That's why you play these guys. Mason Mount wasn't quite at his best, but as a three, that's probably, no question, Chelsea's best front three right now anyway.
Frank, I seem to remember a conversation we had in the week that you saying Lukaku should be rewarded for the goal that he scored in the FA Cup, and given the start
Lukaku
today, he wasn't. Are you regretting your statement?
Yeah. No, but I do see that why Mr. Tuchel is a coach and I'm not, because he's right. And it did very well, and as long as the team wins and Havertz scored goals, Lukaku cannot complain. It would have been a different result. Maybe it would have created some problem in the dressing room, but everything went perfect. I have to say that the first half, and I will join Stevie in the comment, that it was not good. It's like midweek against Luton City, where Chelsea, it took for Chelsea like 15, 20 minutes to come into the game. And then after, I didn't see the four goal coming, I tell you. After time, I was ready to see a 0-0 because it's always tight with Burnley. But they did the job. They were fortunate as well, especially the first goal and even the third one, and I've heard second. So everything is perfect in a perfect world for Mr. Tuchel. And I hopefully people are going to forgive me for saying stupid comments about Lukaku having to play.
People are used to it. They're used to it, Frank. I just want to go back. Obviously, yes, we didn't get Stevie's take on Liverpool because of his problems finding a chair that was suitable. Stevie, how worried were you?
I was extremely uncomfortable, I'll put it that way. How Lanzini missed, I do not know. I mean, that was that. There's no explanation for it. That's how bad it was. It actually looked as though he tried to put it over the crossbar. I mean, his whole body shape trying to strike the ball, he just got everything wrong. And probably the most important thing was it was stage fright. It was absolute stage fright. But the last 15 minutes was torture. I think at the end of the day, Liverpool's got to be happy that West Ham's front line pretty much is about, bullying the opposition, whether it's Antonio smashing into people and trying to run past them, or set pieces, or the pace of Bowen, because they don't have a lot of guile, West Ham. And it's a good job for Liverpool today they don't, because they could have lost two or three goals. The back line just wasn't together. And it looked as though it was going to lose goals. So they got away with one. But you know what? Sometimes you do get away with something, and sometimes that's just the way it goes, and it's all about getting away with it. And they did, so they move on. But the next three or four games before they play City, the starting 11 are going to have to get this back line sorted out, because it's going to be the downfall if, in fact, that ends up happening.
To the same question that I asked Frank, Stevie, to you, was today's result an indication that they are more or less likely to catch City?
It changes nothing. Today changes nothing. I can tell you that they weren't at their best. I can tell you about the line. It's obviously it's easier to point out the things that didn't go well, but right now they won. And right now, that's all that matters until they get to play Manchester City. Then every single thing that they do will have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, they have to win every game. But when I say perfect, they can get away with it with some of the teams that they're going to be playing between now and Manchester City. If they make the mistakes that they did, particularly in this game against Manchester City, then they'll get punished. And that's the difference between that game and a lot of the other sides in the Premier League. Sometimes you don't get punished. West Ham didn't punish them. But as I said, they've got some games to sort that out before they face Manchester City, and what probably will be the decider for me.
Tight, isn't it, at the top of the table and in the relegation zone as well. As we saw today, Leeds lose by 1-0 against Leicester. Harvey Barnes' goal proving to be decisive between the two sides. This is a much improved performance from Leeds under the tenure of Jesse Marsh. His first game in charge, Stevie. A lot of positives to take from it, but in the end, 0 points.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times. You know, this game, you just don't always get what you deserve. And 100%, Leeds United deserve to get 3 points from this. Leicester stole it. But that's... sometimes it happens. Listen, you're saying positives, yes, positives. I think Jesse did well. He got the balance between not losing the flair and the pace that they go forward with, because they still did that. But he got the balance right between having the flair to go forward and having players back defending. Now, unfortunately for them, the goal they lost was down to just horrible basic defending. You know, a 1-2, the first thing you do is you stay with the man, you don't follow the ball. And Dallas didn't do that. And so Harvey Barnes got free and they lose the game. And that's my worry about Leeds. You know, they can play like this between now and the end of the season, but along with the fact that defensively they make mistakes, you've got to take your chances. And I don't know who's going to put the ball in the back of the net for them. Unless they can get Bamford back, who I honestly am not a huge fan of. You know, Rodrigo should have scored today, no question. Rafinha should have scored. James is not a goal scorer. And so you're left with Bamford if you can get him fit. So, yes, a lot of positives in the way they played. But how are they going to end this drought? That's what, 5 in a row they've lost? They've got to score goals to win games, and they've got to keep clean sheets to win games. I don't know how that. I don't know where that's coming from.
Clean what, Stevie?
Sheets.
And what, how's that? Of course, not good for them either. We saw victories for Brentford and Newcastle today, Stevie. Seeing them get a good distance now between them and the relegation zone. So you reckon? Is Everton in the conversation, or is it between Leeds and those three that are in the bottom at the moment? Watford, Burnley, and Norwich.
No, I think Everton's still in there. You know, yes, they won. We all talked about how it's great to win games and to beat Boreham Wood, but I'll tell you what, they were less than convincing. And they've actually, other than the Man City game, they've been less than convincing. So, yeah, they're 100%. And I agree. I always thought Brentford had enough to fight their way out. They're a big physical side, and they're capable of beating anybody. So that's why I always thought they would be all right. And Newcastle just have got... they haven't lost in 8 games. That's incredible when you consider they looked like next to Norwich certainties. So, yeah, I agree with you, Dan, for once. Yeah. I think Everton and Leeds, along with who's there right now, it's going to be a battle between them.
That is indeed a first. Thank you very much, Stevie. You can check out Extra Time and the rest of our videos over on our YouTube channel. Just subscribe to ESPN FC. There's me.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
great game at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid beating Real Sociedad by four goals to one. Real Sociedad took the lead early on through a penalty, but then two scorchers, one from Camavinga and Luka Modric just before halftime would give them the lead. Then Karim Benzema would score from a penalty. Asensio with his first touch and coming on as a substitute. Really good performance from Real Madrid. It put some 8 points clear at the top of La Liga table after Sevilla could only manage that draw against Alaves. It's going to take some catching, is it, for Carlo Ancelotti's side, who, Ali, put in one of the best performances of the season, I thought.
Certainly, after the 35th minute or so in the first half, up until then, Real Sociedad were very comfortable. Real Madrid were
frustrated. It's kind of what we've seen from Real Madrid,
yes,
wasn't it?
And so you felt like it's going to be a grind, it's going to be difficult. Real Sociedad started turning the ball over in the back. That forced Real Sociedad back. Real Madrid took a step forward. Their pressure was higher up the field. And because of that, as Real Sociedad just kind of settled inside their own 18-yard box, it allowed the time and space for Camavinga. It allowed the time and space for Modric. The execution of those goals was great. And then the second half came about, and there was no Real Sociedad. It was all Real Madrid all the time. They controlled the pace of the game through the midfield. They allowed then Luka Modric to be able to move the ball around. They allowed the runs of Vinicius down the left-hand side. Carvajal an overlapping run down the right-hand side. Rodrigo also an option down the right, and then Benzema always active through the middle. The second half of Real Madrid is what you got to build on if you're Real Madrid looking ahead to PSG. Are we going to be able, as a club, and as a team on the field, to control the game against PSG in the manner in which we did against Real Sociedad? If they're able to answer that question with certain optimism and with certain energy, then they have a chance. Otherwise, it's going to be really difficult.
We've seen Camavinga struggle to get starting time behind that midfield of Casemiro, of Modric and Cruz. Was given the chance today due to the injury to Cruz. Took it in some style.
Yes, he did. And it's a different type of player to certainly Toni Kroos. He's a different kind of player to Casemiro. And Camavinga, who likes to play in a more of advanced role, he can give you this. Doesn't quite have the passing range that Toni Kroos does, but then he does have this in his game. And he was thinking shot the whole way. I'm going to take the first touch forward. I'm going to put my legs through the ball. Ancelotti is excited. This game needed something special from Real Madrid at that point. We were going into halftime, and it felt like Santiago Bernabeu were about to boo this team.
Most definitely.
They needed a response. They needed something special to break Real Sociedad down. It came from Camavinga, then it came from Modric, and then you answer some questions. If you're Carlo Ancelotti and you look and say, you know what, I gave the responsibility to Camavinga, look, the guy responded. That's exactly what you want to see as a manager, because now when you have to make decisions in the future, and the future is PSG, you have to think to yourself, okay, can I count on this guy to do a job for me? According to what we saw today, and with the evidence that we saw today, yes, he can do the job. You would rather have your starting three there. You would rather have Kroos, Casemiro, and Modric. But if one of them is absent, Camavinga can do the job.
You prefer the Modric goal, though?
Yes, I do. And the reason I do it is, first of all, the little step-over action. David Silva is fly-by defending, and he's never been a defender. But just for the aesthetics of it all, is see you later, take care, oh, move your feet, David, and then with the left foot. And it's the movement of the ball. This ball is dancing. He hits it so cleanly, so flush, that it's dancing all over the place. Ramiro, who thinks he's there, who thinks he can get to it, by the time he reacts, the ball is way past him. It's just beautifully to see. For Luka Modric, who has hit many of these shots throughout the course of the season. They hit the crossbar, they hit the post. Goalkeepers come up with a save. No safety that he could make there. Ramiro had no chance.
Hey, let's go pitch side to the Bernabeu. Gemma Soler is with us. Ali said it well, didn't you, Gemma? You could taste the fact that Real Madrid were ready, weren't they, to whistle the team off, the fans at halftime. But those two goals just changed the whole complexion of this game.
Hola, Dan, Ale. Yeah, definitely. Actually, I would say the Camavinga goal changed absolutely everything because, you see, I was just behind the goal where the most brave Real Madrid fans are, and they were getting upset, frustrated, watching his team not being able to play. The attack line was very static. The midfield engine room was not working well. So everything was being very difficult. The moment, I'm going to explain you you, Dan, because I can see Courtois, I can see Alaba. Some of the players are going precisely to cheer to the fans. They are going to give the thanks for being with them, so much supportive. Even I was explaining that at some point in the first half, I could hear whistles and they were frustrated. Everything changed with that great goal of Camavinga. The engine room wasn't working. They were not getting to the tag line, so they decided to shoot from outside the box. And they did in a great way, that goal from Camavinga. He didn't score since the day he did his debut. He did it with a lot of security. He was very smart there. And then the Luka Modric again. And then in the second half, everything changed. Real Sociedad put his hands down. And I think it was like the perfect game for Real Madrid, because they needed a boost. They needed to arrive on Wednesday to that game with a little bit more of a positive vibe, because they've lost that. So they managed to do it today. So I think it's like the perfect match. And I don't know if we can show you what's happening right now in the Bernabeu. And is that the fans are getting crazy. And all the players, actually now it's all the players, absolutely all the players are going to the field to say hi to the most brave fans. I'm going to try to show you now.
The fans, of course, frustrated early on in this game, but very much going home the happier of the two sets of supporters. Real Madrid winning by 4-1 against Real Sociedad. Thank you very much, Gemma. Contrasting fortunes to the side they'll be facing on Wednesday. PSG in action against Nice. This, of course, the top of the table clash. No Kylian Mbappe. He was suspended for this tie. You still had Messi, Neymar, Di Maria up front. However, 0-0 as we take it into the 88th minute. Delort, what a great finish.
Stings with a serve from the left-hand side, and he has to take this on the short hop, and it's so difficult to keep it down and control, and he does so very well. It's not easy to do. He keeps it down and off. No chance for Keylor Navas. 1-0 Nice.
That victory won't really affect who will win the title, of course. Nice go third in the table. PSG still very much head and shoulders above the chasing pack. But let's welcome in, shall we, Frank Leboeuf to discuss this game and discuss how that may affect the tie on Wednesday against Real Madrid. Let's first start off with this defeat against Nice. Frank, what went wrong?
Well, I would say that first, you have to, and you show the rank, the 15 points ahead of the second. So they don't really care about what's going on. And they wanted to be very protective. I didn't see any Paris Saint-Germain player taking any risk to get injured and giving 100% of his capacity to make sure that they don't concede a goal or they even win the game. They were very conservative. They did what they had to do, but also because Nice tactic was very, very good. Christophe Galtier, the coach, put everybody in the center of the field, making sure that Paris Saint-Germain had to go on the side and cross for nobody, in fact, because you have nobody who can put the headers. So I think Icardi should have come in earlier, but he only came the last 10 minutes. So without Mbappe and the dependence of Mbappe at front, we didn't see much from Paris Saint-Germain. But again, I give all excuses to the players because they already won the, affirmative right now, but they already won their Ligue 1 and they have a big game on Wednesday. So they just wanted to make sure that nobody's injured and is going to be ready. I think it won't affect them. But we all know that they will have to do the job against Real Madrid.
Well, the bookies have PSG as big favourites to go through. 3-1 on Real Madrid, 9-4. So, Frank, really, what you're saying is today is no big deal and has no real material effect at all as to what we'll see occur on Wednesday.
It's what I think. I'm not in the dressing room, but I think it's clear when I was watching the game that I felt that the heads of the main players like Neymar, Messi, even Marquinhos was lots of time, you know, laughing and teasing the other captain, the Brazilian captain of Nice, Dante. It was nothing like taking the game seriously in a way, and making sure, in fact, that you don't get injured in any sort of dramatic tackle from anybody. So Yeah, I think it is what it is. It was a good game. Nice played well, give everything they had to give. But against a Paris Saint-Germain, I can call very conservative and for good reasons for me.
You couldn't be as blasé about Real Madrid, could you, though?
No.
This has to make a difference going into the tie against PSG. I know it's a completely different level to Real Sociedad. I know you've got some suspensions. Mm-hmm. But this has got to give them a lift.
Yes, they needed something that gives them a sense of belief. In playing against PSG, when they were pushed back and they couldn't keep the ball for long periods of time and they couldn't create chances and they were deemed to be conservative, in my opinion, it was more than being conservative, the fact that PSG were far better than Real Madrid, they needed something that told them, we have a chance.
Right.
And it wasn't going to come from playing in the manner in which they play against Rayo Vallecano. It wasn't going to come from another one of those matches where they grind out a result and it's 1-0 and men Courtois having to come up with saves. It needed to come from explosive, dynamic, offensive movement. And while we didn't see that in the first half, we certainly saw it in the second half. So if you were looking for a stepping stone, if you were looking for a game that pushes you forward and says, okay, here comes a big challenge against PSG. This was it for Real Madrid. They are building momentum into PSG. So no excuses anymore. You're building momentum. You play some of the best stuff that we have seen from Real Madrid over the last 3 or 4 months in this second half. Can you carry it on against PSG, in which will be a different level of game, different level of team, and a different level of PSG, not the one that we saw against Nice.
More talk, of course, throughout the week as we build up to that big game in Spain between Real Madrid and PSG. Meanwhile, La Liga action continues tomorrow. All kicks off at Cadiz against Rayo Vallecano. Then Elche take on the in-form at Barcelona. Then a huge match in Seville. Real Betis taking on Atletico Madrid. All those games available on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It finished Bayern Munich 1, Bayer Leverkusen 1 in the big game in the Bundesliga on Saturday. Süle would open the scoring for the host, but an own goal from Thomas Müller would see the spoils shared. In fact, an argument could be that Bayer Leverkusen were the better of the two sides. Bayern Munich won't mind too much, though. You take a look at the gap at the top of the table. 9 points with Borussia Dortmund's game postponed this weekend. For more on this, let's welcome in Jan Arge Fjortov. How are you, Jan?
I'm fine. Fine, doing a bit skiing last day, so I'm okay.
Oh, what a life. God, we've gone from small Stevie to big head Jan. Jan, 1-1. Bayern won't be losing too much sleep over this, will they?
No, they won't. But having said that, Dan, it's all about the Champions League for Bayern. And they know that if they kind of get so many chances against them from the 40th minute till the 45th, there was like three big chances for Bayer Leverkusen. And the big thing for Bayern Munich, you know, they will score goals. Somehow they will find a way with Lewandowski and Müller the right way, of course. Süle is scoring today, and I think that is a symbolic for their way. The only one who score goals and is okay, although Stevie says he's not, is Süle, and he's going to Dortmund. And you see Upamecano, he was the big signing for them, and he was terrible. You saw that. I mean, that had to be a goal for Bayer Leverkusen, and they are struggling to get new defenders in for next season and everything, but they will be okay. Bayern Munich will now play Salzburg, and they should do that quite comfortably, but It's all about Champions League. And we have to ask ourselves every time when we see Bayern Munich, will this be good enough when you come into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and maybe the final of the big one?
Yeah, we just saw that run of games for the last five matches, and we're used to seeing WWWs, clean sheets. That's something that we're not seeing with Bayern at the moment at all.
No, they don't like clean sheets, do they? No. That is point one. And secondly, it's a bit like in Bayern at the moment, because you kind of feel there was this thing this week that they're going to be a selling club. What? Bayern Munich being a selling club? Well, they have some new concept thing that they should get talents in and then sell them. I mean, try to sort out to get some good players in to replace the ones, because 2-3 years down the line, Thomas Müller will be away, Lewandowski will be away, Neuer will be away. At the moment, they're a bit fragile, the whole structure of the club. They try to find themselves. And good for the German media who loves to speculate about this. The consequences are bad results are on the pitch. But it will probably be enough against Salzburg, because you just feel that they need one of those miracles to knock the big rival. It's a local derby, although it's in two different countries, to knock them out of the Champions League.
Meanwhile, Jan, I'm not sure if you heard whilst on your skiing holiday, but Erling Haaland met with Xavi and he's going to Barcelona next season.
What?
He went to Munich to do some treatment. That is, but it seems like when he goes to Munich, everybody speaks to him. So I think that we are getting closer. I got a feeling that maybe this month we know a lot about where he's playing. So we're getting closer. So just stay tuned. There will be a lot of people talking to Team Haaland at the moment. But let's see.
What's more likely, Barcelona, Real Madrid or Manchester City, Jan?
Well, what I think is most likely is there is a big decision to be made which country they will go to. I got a feeling that Real Madrid will be ahead of Barcelona. Manchester City, there is a free seat, as they will say, in Formula One. So he will fit there as well. So what I do know about this process they're in it now, it's very, very down to details. They're going through everything. And at the end, Erling got to do a decision.
Yeah, why are you talking like a politician?
I'm not talking to a politician. I try to be quite clear, because when we are now coming into the final thing, I'm saying that it's down to two clubs. And I think that is Real Madrid and Manchester City. And this Barcelona thing, I think it's more a spin. I'm not sure that it will end up being a spin at the end. But at the moment, I think it's down to two countries and two clubs.
Why does Haaland hate Xavi? What happened?
What?
Does he hate Xavi?
Well, they had this meeting. He was going to Barcelona and then he met them. And now you're saying he's not.
I don't know the meeting schedule of Team Haaland. I would love to know it. I will know to follow them through Spain, but they had Raiola following them. I think they choose him instead of me. And I will probably love to be there.
Yeah, and what are we going to do when Haaland signs? What are we going to talk about?
We will probably talk about his scoring for Real Madrid or Manchester City, or maybe La Porta. When I listen to you guys talking about football, there will be a lot of things for me to do as well, Dan. So I'm not worried about that.
Thank you very much, Jan. Just a reminder, more from Jan over on Extra Time. Interesting stuff he tells us about Erling Haaland's future. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Thank you very much, Stevie. Well, we'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Before we get to your tweets, let's address some breaking news as the Manchester Evening News is reporting that Cavani and Cristiano Ronaldo are not in the squad for the derby against Manchester City. Ali with us here in the studio. Jan Olga Fjortoff joins us, as does Frank Leboeuf. Jan, how much of a big deal is this? Come on, children. Right. Ronaldo's out of the squad. Big news, Jan.
Wow. Well, that is big news. I mean, Cavani, he's been out for fun. I mean, he's never on anyway. But Ronaldo out for that derby, he wouldn't like to be out. So there must be something happening. So I'm waiting for breaking news too to understand why he's out.
Oh, right, there we go. Does this affect things at all, Frank, going into the derby?
Well, you know, that's something, in fact, that I don't like, because I want the best players on the field. And not seeing Ronaldo tomorrow on a doubtful Manchester United is not good news, for sure.
Right, let's go on with the questions then, shall we? Jan, where are you, by the way? What's going on?
It's a very classy hotel.
I am in Switzerland.
I hope it's not his house. Yeah, tell me it's not your house, because seeing the curtains and the paper wall, I really hope it's not your house.
Yeah, the wallpaper and curtains.
Exactly. You have probably been there, Frank Posh Leboeuf, because I am in Zermatt in Switzerland.
Oh. Sounds fancy.
Very nice. Oh.
Yeah, I've been skiing 3 days in a row. In the race today, I was not good. I defended a third position last season, or before the pandemic, so the pandemic has done me wrong.
Wow.
So down to eighth position today. Wow.
Is that the over 60s race?
Yeah, exactly. the one with a walking chair.
Right. Jan, do you think Haaland should go to Real Madrid, or will Odegaard's experience there turn him off from a move?
You mean that college thing that he did at Real Madrid, who now making him to one of the best player of Arsenal? I think that it was the right thing for him to go, the right to go there. He had Zinedine Zidane as his coach, a lot of experience, but I don't think that will affect Erling Haaland at all, because Erling Haaland is now 21, who's going to make a decision where he's going to go. Erling Haaland Martin Ødegaard at that time was 16, so it's a big, big difference between a decision they are going to make. I mean, it's hard to turn down Real Madrid.
Frank, how much does the city make a difference? What I mean by that, Manchester, Madrid, how much would that come into the decision-making process?
Well, you have lots of factors, you know. Whether you love the Premier League or you love La Liga.
No, all the football stuff. Well, yeah, I get the football stuff, Frank. From an actual living in a city bit. Like, does that affect your decision? Would that affect your decision as a player?
It can affect your decision when you nearby the 30s, I would say. But when you're 21, you don't care. You want to play football and you want to play for the best team in the world, whether it's around Manchester, London, Rome, or Madrid, or even Paris. So it doesn't really matter for a young player. For me, it matters when I was playing for Chelsea and I was 30, Liverpool called me, Gérard Houllier called me, and I say no because I was pleased to be in a nice city. Well, I don't say that Liverpool is not a nice city, but I didn't see me living in Liverpool.
But to put in that, Dan, remember with Erling Haaland, there is another factor as well. His dad plays for Manchester City.
Yep.
He was running around with Manchester City shirts when he was a kid. So I think that the rain in Manchester will now play no role. He got a house in Spain, doesn't matter at all. This is all down to, down to details where he's going to go. And at the end, when you do all the fix factors, it's always a bit also down to the gut feeling. Should I go to England or Spain now in an age of 21? Where's the best place to start? Because I think he will play in both countries when you see his whole career.
I lived in both cities, both Manchester and Madrid.
And so what
so I'd be more than happy to guide Erling around both.
So you want to be part of Team Haaland?
I could certainly act as a conduit between them and the different cities.
Does that mean that then if you come in as part of Team Haaland,
yes,
that then Jan, yeah, he gone.
Jan's out of there. That's all right. He has no use then.
But I would be a host, so I think that would be a good change.
Okay. For the strikers, how do you make yourself useful in games when you don't have any service? Are Lukaku's low-touch games an effort or system problem?
It's frustrating when you're not getting quality touches in and around the 18-yard box because that's where you want to be in order to finish your chances. But you can still impact the game. You can still participate in the game. You can have a role within a game that can be frustrating at times. And some of that is sacrificing yourself and making runs in behind and creating spaces for others and whatever the case may be, depending on what the game presents to you. But the solution to the problem cannot be, well, since I'm not getting service, I'm just going to stand right here and I'm not going to do anything else. Right. See you guys later. I'm just frustrated. That's it. I checked out. That's not the solution.
Jan, how vocal would you be if you didn't get any service in a game?
Well, I certainly would be vocal, but I think Al got a good point. You have to do something yourself as well. I mean, 7 touches. I mean, that is, and that was included a kickoff, so it was down to 6. So, I mean, that is an enormous thing. At least you have to show with your body language that you want to be a part of the game. Yes, Lukaku is not a player who can go so much deep and do all that stuff as some other strikers can do, like Lewandowski. He can go down and play as a number 10. I mean, he got all the capacity in the world to do that. But Lukaku is, unfortunately, that kind of player when he has the day off, his body language looks like he doesn't want to be there. I mean, and that is not a good thing for a football player. A bit like Özil had at some part of his Arsenal career, and that is not good for him, and it's not good for teammates either. Because if you don't get a service and you see a player just hanging around and have a go at you, you don't think that you want him to have the next ball either.
Might be a posh place. Internet's rubbish, though. Jan, back to your holiday. Downhill
yes.
or cross-country skiing?
Well, as you know, if you see the Winter Olympics, no, we're winning everything, so it doesn't matter to us. but to get my fat level down, it's better to cross-country. But to be fair, I mean, when you 3 days in Zermatt, it's hard when you ski in the Alps to think of anything that can be better. I mean, we have 3 days with fantastic sun, fantastic loipes.
I hate skiing.
So it's been fantastic. No. You're English. You are the ones who crash into us in the loipes. So I understand that you hate it.
I don't understand the desire. Get really expensive.
Uh-huh.
You've got to wrap up all the different okay. clothes. Go up, come down, go up again, come down.
Uh-huh.
Going to break a leg.
Okay.
It's well, a bit that's like cricket then for you.
Oh, cricket's completely different matter, Jan. Sit there all day taking in the sun is beautiful. Cricket and skiing, my goodness. Frank, you like skiing though as well, don't you?
Yes, I've been skiing since the age of 7. I love it, going up and going down, going up and going down.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Much better to be with a cup of tea watching a 7 or 8 hours game of cricket.
Oh,
I'm very sorry.
God. The kids had the chance to go skiing this winter.
Yeah, right.
And the school like sent opportunity every week. It's really expensive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so sit and play on your iPad.
There you are. And imagine yourself skiing.
Yes, exactly. I'll throw you downhill. What should Patrick Vieira's next move be as manager, Frank?
Ooh.
Hmm. I think he has a real potential. I think he's doing great. Watching Crystal Palace make me think that... Nice, make me think that he can improve a team, improve some players, so I think he has a potential. Well... I guess, you know, if Arsenal comes back to its prime, it would be fantastic to see Patrick Vieira there because he was a captain of the Gunners, so that would be an achievement.
Jan, would it be a huge shock if Bayern go out of the Champions League on Tuesday, considering their recent form?
It will not only be a big shock for them, it will have enormous consequences, because Bayern Munich can't lose against Salzburg. For them, Salzburg is a place they go to listen to Mozart. It's a place they go to buy this Mozart kind of candy stuff. So there's just no chance that Bayern Munich can lose against Salzburg. So if they lose on Wednesday, I mean, we're going to have some great shows this week, because then head will fly all around Munich.
We will have great shows, whatever the result. Jan, come on.
Beautiful city, Salzburg, by the way.
Oh, really? Did you go there?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go and see Mozart's little
Mozart's
thing?
And Sound of Music as well.
Oh, yes.
And a nice chocolate torte as well.
You had a what?
A chocolate torte.
Oh, a chocolate torte. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Goodness me.
Hey, Salzburg is great. I love me some Salzburg.
The person next door to Jan in the hotel is like, what's wrong with this man? Talking to himself, singing Sound of Music.
Well, my son, who did Sound of Music.
Yeah, Gregory.
Local theater, right? So we go to Salzburg because we thought, well, of course, he wants to see Sound of Music.
Right.
And where everything was filmed. And right. And we do this whole tour. And I'm thinking he's all excited about this. I check over to Gregory, see, like, oh, did you hear this? Did you hear that as we're doing the tour? I look over, he's asleep in the tour. I wake him up and say, no, we're here because of you.
Ungrateful.
Yeah, ungrateful. Unappreciative.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here because of you.
Yes, we're out. I had a dream about Frank. I just remembered I had a dream about you last night.
Oh, well, that's something.
You started smoking again, and I was very dangerous. I remember.
No.
Again. Yeah.
No, disappointing.
I remember.
Disappointing, Frank.
That was it.
Disappointing.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
No, don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
I give up for life. Don't worry.
No, you read the book.
I'm eternal, so I'm not going to die.
No, good, because you were. Yeah,
well, what?
Because you gave the book to my wife to help her stop.
Oh. Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Did she?
No. Apparently it's too apparently it's too stressful being married to me.
But Frank, whatever you do in Dan's dreams, don't smoke. Whatever you do there.
Final question. Jan.
Don't worry, I won't.
Right, final question. Take some turns on this show. Jan, will Leeds survive in the Premier League this season under new boss Jesse Marsh?
Yes. He would do that as long as he's not doing his team meeting on the pitch. I think that is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's terrible when managers stand out. I love Jesse Marsh. I love his passion. I love his speeches. I think he's a brilliant manager, and he will do well. Then the first thing he had to talk about in England was Ted Lasso and not saying soccer. So we know that he's going to be down with a tough thing, but stop doing his team meeting out there. But I think that he will stop. Stevie was very negative to him not be able to stop them conceding so many goals. I think he will do that, and I think the Leeds United will survive at the end.
What's wrong? In case you didn't see it at the full-time whistle, Jesse Marsh got the Leeds team together, had a huddle on the centre circle. What's wrong with that, Jan? What don't you like about it?
I just don't like it because I think, and I don't think that Jesse Marsh is doing it for that, but I think there's a signal about, for me, it's a bit show-off. And I don't like that. I like to go into the dressing room. Why should you stand out there and talk to the players? I can't see any possibility. Tell me, Frank, tell me, Al, tell me, is there anything, what have I missed?
Frank, you're a show-off.
Well, you know, I wasn't listening to you because I was thinking about somebody called James Marsh, because you are talking about Jesse Marsh. You're talking about James Marsh, and James Marsh is a fantastic director who decided to pick me in a beautiful movie called The Theory of Everything, Stephen Hawking, who won the Oscar of the Best Actor. So James Marsh is great. I don't know about Jesse Marsh, but James Marsh is great.
And then there was John Marsh. Who has designed my France top for the World Cup that I won? Right, Frank, just go back. Listen to what we're talking about, Frank. Right.
It was boring. Yeah, but go on.
At the full-time whistle, there was a huddle between the Leeds players and Jesse Marsh. They just lost. He's on the centre circle. He's talking to everything. Jan hates that. What do you think?
No, I think it's a good thing. I think you send a message to the fans. You send also a message publicly to everybody saying, we won't give up. We're going to fight until the end. I think it might be a little bit political, but I think it's fair. And it's good for the spirit of the team. I think it's it shows that you don't want to give up. Because, especially because I didn't see the game, but Stevie was saying that Leeds should have won that game. Mm. So that's you have to get some positive stuff from a defeat.
Mm. Yeah, take that, Jan. Mm.
Well, as we know that when Frank won the World Cup, he had a marsh before the game. and so I don't want to discuss that anymore.
Hey, beautiful.
I'm glad that you're here.
Oh, yeah, I know. The eulogy yesterday was quite something.
It was heartfelt.
It came out of very nowhere.
Very emotional.
Very nice.
I thought we were just making fun of you, and then all of a sudden it was very emotional.
I know, but I am definitely alive. Thank you very much for that. That's it. We're done. Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your holiday, Jan.
Hey,
ESPN FC back on your screen tomorrow. It's Manchester United against Manchester City, of course. Barcelona in action as well. Plenty to talk about. Be sure to join us.